Sit back, relax, you got nothing to lose. What do you think I'm about to show you? The female of the species is more deadly than a male.
Deadly.
Only a movie, you can say it again. Just wait till you see what I did at the end. The female of the species is more deadly than a male.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the More Deadly Podcast, where we review horror movies directed exclusively by women, which prove that the female of the species is more deadly than the male. More Deadly is a trans-inclusive podcast where we celebrate the work of cis and trans women, as well as non-binary filmmakers who are comfortable being included in a space that centers the work of women. I'm your co-host, Rachel, and joining me today is the ghost with the most. It's Ariel.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, my love?
I'm doing okay.
You hanging in there?
I'm trying by my fingertips, man, but I'm doing it.
I know. I know. I posted this story on my Instagram this week that was like, 2025 is my year. And then it's like a burnt up Barbie and it's like me in September.
Oh, yeah. That's scarily accurate.
I know. I gotta quit every year hoping that this year is the year it gets better, because I feel like maybe I'm jinxing it. Like
you're cursing
how I hold
us.
Myself. Mm-hmm. Yes, like how I hold myself responsible for COVID by seeing cats on January 1st.
Yes,
like of that year. I feel like my hope is what is taking us down as a people, as a society. Not that I have main character syndrome or anything.
That's so sad that you feel like your hope is cursing us.
Yeah, I feel like maybe everyone would be better off if I had a little less hope. The universe wants to beat me down. So what's up with you? What's new? Anything exciting? Have you been doing anything? Did you see anything? What's the tea?
No, honestly, like I've said before, I feel like I'm boring in Utah. Nothing interesting has happened to me. I did have one of those days today where, like, I feel like so much impotent rage at the world that, like, I'm again getting angry about the stupidest shit. Like, I just got home after being stuck in traffic for an hour, and my poor stepmom was, like, stuck in the car with me, and I feel like I blacked out, and I woke up and realized I had been ranting about the fact that... This is so dumb.
Oh God.
Saying that, like, we as a people need to decide whether we call it a red onion or a purple onion or a red grape or a purple grape. And I think I went on about this for like 10 solid minutes before we drove past one of those Sinclair gas stations. And I started ranting then about how annoying it was that not all of them had giant dinosaurs out front. Cause like, what the fuck's the point of them then? I stopped. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? What is wrong with me?
I mean, listen, if you're going to rant, there are worse things to rant about, right?
Like, I mean, sure. I guess that's true.
At least your stepmother wasn't getting like darked out by some like deep thing about like human trafficking or, you know what I mean? Like it was red onion. It was just, you know. Yeah. Red onions and but so what did you decide? Like I've never really called them purple onions. I didn't realize that there was an epidemic of like misnomers around this.
Yes.
People call them purple onions.
Yes. And I've always done red of each. Red grapes, red onions, you know?
Yeah, red grapes and green grapes, right?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, have you had cotton candy? This is very boring. I'm going to move on. But cotton candy grapes, pro tip for
really
everyone
good.
Out there, they're delicious.
Yeah.
Yes, they're delicious. God, I just bored myself.
This is what I mean. Like, I was just like, who am I? What is happening to me? I swear at one point in my life I was interesting, you know?
I think somewhere once you get settled, when you get to Montana and you're settled and you're like in a place, I'm sure you're just like too on the move and there's like too much like electronic equipment around you. It's disrupting the weird like cosmic pull that you have of weirdness. To be fair though, you're also like residing in the same like extended stay motel or hotel as sister wife. So it's not like there's no weird shit happening in your life.
True.
It's just on the scale of
like turned
Ariel,
way
it's like,
down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I returned to the D box.
What did you see this time?
I needed to test my hypothesis that D-Box is just basically like performance enhancing drugs for horror films.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I know you went to see like Downton Abbey. I was like, did you do that at D-Box?
Dude, no, but I would have. Don't get me wrong. I would have. And I did see, it was actually the most delightful experience. It was very weird to see a movie that was not a horror film and that didn't dark me out at the end. Because The Long Walk is excellent, but it totally darked me out. It was like a special screening that I got in because I was supposed to do this interview that's actually not going to happen. So I'm just going to write a review, whatever. But it was like some sort of special screen. I don't know what the deal was, but every other person in the theater, aside from myself and Matilda, were like very fabulous old gay men.
For The Long Walk?
No. For Downton Abbey.
Okay. That tracks. Yes. Where did you go see it?
At the Kabuki in San Francisco.
Okay.
But
yeah.
It was the best audience you could ever hope for that movie because they were getting their whole fucking life. Like they were talking back to, like, you know, I don't like talking in theater.
No,
this is the exception.
Yeah.
They were hilarious. They were like, when like Lady Mary, when something would happen to Lady Mary that was bad, they were like gasp in horror. Or when they like caught the con man, the guy behind him was like, more like a horse's ass. Like there was, they were so into it. And so every time like something would happen and there would be a huge reaction, until then I would like hold hands and be like,
this is the best thing ever. That's so funny.
It was.
Oh my God.
That is the equivalent of D-Box for Downton Abbey. Right. To see it with like 45 octogenarian gays, which I love a person.
So much. That sounds like the best experience.
It was. So back to my point, I went and saw, I'm going to talk about it on BGH, Bloody Good Horror, on Wednesday. So I'm not going to like spoil my thoughts. But
okay.
I did see The Conjuring Last Rites in D-Box.
Right.
And I will say, now it's third time's a charm, right? So I got to go see another one. But once again, I do feel like the D-Box is a very effective enhancer, especially for a movie like that, that is just like rife with jump scares. And you're there not really for storytelling, but for a ride. Like, it'll be interesting to see how I feel when we do the review on Wednesday. But like, absolutely, it enhances the experience for things like that. So like, do you really want to see Downton Abbey in one? I mean, it would probably just be like the part where they like, because the chair kind of goes like this. So you probably like every time you're flying over the Abbey, you would just kind of like swirl around. And the jumps, like, I guess the jump scares would actually be pretty funny. And they're like, he's a con artist. But yeah, so I saw it again. So far, I'm going to do another movie probably next week. And I'm going to try to D-Box it again because I want to, like, the third time will be confirmation.
Yeah.
But my hypothesis is an improver of movies. Now I need to repeat the results.
That's awesome. I'm glad you got to see The Conjuring, because I feel like last week when we were talking about it, we were like, The Conjuring would be like a perfect movie for D-Box, you know?
It is, because that movie, well, I'm going to get into my review, but like, it's not about storytelling anymore at this point. It's just like, set up jump scare. And like, I paid extra for the D-Box. I want my butt to vibrate.
Good, yeah,
and
you want the good jump
scare. It was vibrated. Okay. It was well vibrated. Okay. All right, Ariel, enough talking about my butt being vibrated. What are we here to do today for real? I mean, we can talk about my butt being vibrated if you want, but
we're going to be reviewing For Sale by Exorcist, directed by Melissa LaMartina.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right, cool. So before we get into that, in case anybody's new here, Ariel, how do we handle spoilers on the More Deadly podcast?
Okay. So eventually we are going to spoil this whole movie. But first, Rachel is going to give you a little mini synopsis. I'm going to tell you about the director and the making of the movie. We're going to give you our non-spoiler thoughts. And then we're going to jump in to all the spoilers, all the twists and turns. And if you want to watch this movie first, it's free on Tubi. So go do that and come back.
That's how I watched it.
Yep.
Good old Tubi. I swear.
Like, this gets better and better.
Very pro Shudder, and I want everybody to like pay for that subscription so it never goes away, especially since so many women have gotten like starts on, like, they buy those movies. And the VHS movie that's coming out in October, two women directors on that.
Oh, yes, I'm so excited.
But after that, my number two is gotta be Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that library is getting impressive.
I know.
All right, cool. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into all that. Sound good?
Yeah.
Hey folks, Rachel here. Thanks so much for listening to this preview episode of More Deadly. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, good news, you can. There are a couple of ways that you can hear the full episode right now. First, you can subscribe to the More Deadly podcast for free wherever it is that you get your pods, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/zombiegirls to get the episodes ad-free plus all the other Patreon goodies. Thanks so much for listening.